I'm George, and we are back with another amazing, spectacular, insane, amazing, spectacular. I'm saying it over and over again because I'm stuck on some weird repeat loop. I'm stuck in like a groove click on a vinyl track that I can't break free of. I'm here with another edition of Mai Tai Happy Hour with the greatest group of dudes I have ever met. I would like to start and say a small apology to the great, beautiful, beautiful Josh Goldfarb.
Oh, buddy.
He's so beautiful, but we accidentally screwed up the dates. He was supposed to be here today so we can do the latest edition of the Punk Rock Canon, which is going to be TSOL's Dance With Me, and we screwed up big time. It's my bad.
That's screwed up.
I like made a boo-boo, and I told him the wrong date, and I told him our air date and not our record date.
Did you learn something from it?
I've learned that I should have everybody hooked up to the calendar and not just Becker and you.
I thought Goldfarb was.
I thought he was too, which is where the error came when you said the 11th. I don't know what dates are. Like, I don't know what numbers are. Like,
what is time?
Yeah, you tell me it's Wednesday. I could say it's Wednesday. We are here today. We have our smorgasbord. Presenting the food. I'm now like, I love this dining room table because I feel if we are going to do this at the dining room table under the Adam Wallachavid chandelier.
It's a beautiful chandelier.
We need food. We need cookies. But the first thing we need to do is introduce our guest star once again joining us. The creepy, dark, moody, kind of gimpy. Ken Lucas.
It's called Lock Groove. That's the track and the vinyl record that gets stuck.
Yeah. I completely forgot.
I had a feeling when I ate into that cookie that you were going to intro me. I knew it.
So this is the problem with putting the cookies down is they're loud. Man. Did you see me with the Greek cookies last week trying to eat those and not like...
I heard you on air.
Those cookies were heaven sent.
Yeah. Hambone, you just like blew all our levels once again.
That's what he does.
I get it done early in the
when
show.
When we do our test, can you just talk in the vocal prowess that you think you're going to talk?
I do. And then I have my reactions of George. Blows everything.
It's like when you climax. You're just all over the
George.
Place.
Hambone blows early.
Thanks.
I know. Jesus Christ, guys.
Speaking of which, cannot forget... Our brilliant co-host.
Oh, dude! I can't fucking believe you guys. Wow. You guys remixed my theme song.
I'm impressed.
I'm wildly impressed. I am both horrified and impressed at the same time.
I'm so glad. I worked on this for 2 hours today.
Well, thank you, I think.
2 hours.
Jesus, George.
This is custom. No one else has custom.
I've got a custom theme song. This is amazing. What?
Oh, yeah. I went there.
You did the whole song?
I did a lot of the song.
Yo, DJ El Greco in the house.
DJ El Greco on the ones and twos.
Trying to get beats mixed on GarageBand is not easy.
Well, like everything else, you master. So, good on you, man. Oh, Jesus. Ken. I can't believe this is what you stumbled upon last week.
That was accidental. I just, came in and popped in my head. There's a lot of pop culture in my head, and it just like pops out usually at the most inopportune moments, but
that
also
was
the funniest moments.
That was probably
that's
the funniest.
To all the crafty people out there, because I'm also crafty.
I'm so glad you loved it. That is your permanent. That's your permanent theme song.
I don't think you could top it.
I don't think I'll ever get the rights to it, but it's called. It's online right now. It's called In Boner.
George, come on.
And I think it's excellent.
Boner's pretty good.
I'm kind of proud of myself, and there's not too often that I'm proud of myself. But that
crafty.
He's crafty. Well, she's crafty.
Yeah, I know.
I actually spent a lot of time listening to the lyrics to that song. Oh, Jesus Christ, they're so up his alley. Like, either they're criminals or they know their way around a safety scissor.
George!
Like, it's just his type of
be
woman.
Nice.
Or a little bit of both in some cases. It's scary, but that's what life being Hambone is like. Oh, so that's
what happens. You pick up girls at Michael's.
So it's excellent show for you tonight. We are going to be talking about the return of the Animaniacs, the 90s?
Yeah, it's 90s, a 90s throwback.
90s Warner Brother cartoon. Now, I don't like anything Warner Brothers because of its allegiance to the most horrible comic book company in the world, Dad's Comics, DC. But we will let Hambone entertain us with his enthusiastic excitement for the return of Animaniacs. We'll also be talking about, looks like cassettes, you know, tape cassettes, the stuff I sold at Sam Goody that would get eaten up and sounded like crap and probably the worst invention ever, unless you like the mixtape, are making a resurgence.
Making a big-time resurgence.
Big-time resurgence. We're also going to review End of the Fucking World, a new Netflix show that is just wow. Wow.
I watched the entire thing.
A lot of depression, a lot of it's feel bad television like never done before.
It is call your therapist.
Yeah.
Feel bad TV.
We are also going to give a final verdict on the 2018 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees, which were finally revealed this week. And then we're going to wrap the show up with the WWE Mixed Match Challenge, which I can't even pronounce. Mixed match.
Saying that three times fast.
Mixed match. Lots of mixed matchy stuff going on over there. But we're going to touch on who the mixed matches are and why this is so important and why the WWE is so ahead of its time with this type of programming.
Absolutely.
But first of all, we've got to talk about Hambone's hangover cure of the week.
You mean Hambone's little helper?
Hambone's little helper.
Hambone's little helpers.
The song didn't work for me last week either, so I'm not gonna entertain it.
We gotta find the hamburger helper theme and
yeah, I just couldn't. I couldn't do it again. I'm sorry. Like I liked Month of Punch.
Month
of Punch was amazing.
Month of Punch totally played.
So I still catch Allison sometimes singing Month of Punch.
That's how you know it's a hit.
No, you know what's sad? I also sometimes catch her singing the Elite.
Oh, I can't.
I say that all the time.
The Elite. I'm just like, please, no. They're horrible people. We don't like them.
See me in the supermarket.
Love the Elite.
See, you really sing that.
I sing so many stupid songs in the supermarkets. I come around in the corner and someone be looking at me like, yeah, I'm alone.
Yeah, yeah, it's the Bullet Club shirt. Do you know what the Bullet Club shirt really means?
George.
Virgin.
George.
Virgin.
George.
Virgin.
I'm not a virgin.
I still have my hymen.
I'm not a virgin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway.
So Hambone's Little Helpers this week, for the month of January, we are doing Hambone's Little Helpers, which are my proven hangover cures. Each week I'm going to talk about a hangover cure and I'm going to talk about a way to twist it up in case you need to keep drinking. So today's Hambone's Little Helper is what I call Pedialyte and Red Bull. Now Pedialyte is a liquid that you can give to your babies or your small children if they have an upset stomach. It helps kind of right the ship a little bit with electrolytes. So it's kind of like Gatorade Plus. And then Red Bull, well, we all know what Red Bull does. So what I would do when I used to work and wait tables is I'd get a frat boy cup, a 16-ounce red solo cup. I'd fill it up with ice. And in that cup, I'd pour equal parts of Pedialyte and Red Bull, slap a straw in there, and suck it down as fast as I could. Now, within about 10 minutes, you are caffeinated enough to actually deal with human beings, and you're also settled enough in your stomach that you're not going to shit your pants while you're waiting tables. Now, if you have the luxury of not having to work a morning shift on a Sunday after a hard night of drinking, I highly recommend putting 2 ounces of vodka or tequila in there to help you take the edge off the shakes. So that recipe, as always, you'll find on our site. Hamlin's a little healthier. Pedialyte and Red Bull.
Pedialyte.
Pedialyte and Red Bull. You can get it at CVS.
You're popping your pee so hard right now, Hambone. It's driving me nuts.
Sorry.
Just call it Edialyte. Just don't use your pee. Don't pop your peas.
Edialyte and Red Bull.
No more peas for the rest of the night.
But I need to use my P's.
No, you can't use your P's. Mind your P's and Q's.
But he loves his P's.
Yeah.
Ken. So that's my Hambone's Little Helper for this week. We got up next week. We don't know what's going to be. Some magic for everybody.
Why? Is it a big surprise next week?
Well, it's a two-parter.
Hair of the dog.
Hair of the dog.
No, that's the final week. When all else fails.
I've never had Hair of the Dog. All I know about Hair of the Dog is the Guns N' Roses song. That's all I know about it.
Which is not a Guns N' Roses song, which is like a Thin Lizzy song.
So the Animaniacs are coming back. Yakko, Wacko, and Dot.
Right.
Have been renewed. Is it really called renewing?
Rebooting.
Rebooting is what it's more like on Hulu. And it's being with executive producer Steven Spielberg.
Well, Steven Spielberg was the original executive producer of it. What they are getting is a straight-to-Hulu two-season order. Steven Spielberg back as a producer. They are not going to be bringing back the original showrunner, though.
Okay, so what does that mean?
Well, I mean,
nobody knew about showrunners back in like 90, whenever.
And that's the thing. They're making a big deal about not bringing back the showrunner, but that was a time before you really needed a showrunner. A showrunner was actually anyone special. To be honest with you, I don't really know that anyone was considered a special showrunner until Lost, where you knew it was with Damon Lindelof, Carlton Cuse.
I think that's true. I think you really... maybe Sopranos? Did Sopranos predate Lost maybe a little bit?
I don't know.
And I also don't know if I knew who the creator of Sopranos was.
Or Michael Mann, who did a lot of
Ken, that's a great
drama.
Point. Yeah, Michael Mann, Miami Vice.
He was probably the only one, though.
I have no idea.
He did tons of like movies and TV shows.
So the new show is also going to be on Hulu, which I don't know if anybody actually watches Hulu.
I watch Hulu. I've been a subscriber for years.
I guess it's a millennial thing.
Well, first and foremost, I'm not a millennial.
Yeah, you are.
Secondly, you got me very self-conscious about my P's.
You are. If you just pulled your pop filter back and actually used it properly, it wouldn't be an issue.
Well, you know I've got issues with my pop filter.
I have issues with your P's.
So, in addition to the new series, Hulu also got domestic television distribution rights to get the exclusive contract for Pinky and the Brain, Pinky, Elmira and the Brain, and the complete Tiny Toons Adventures collection, which were all the series that came out when Animaniacs came out. Animaniacs spun out of the Tiny Toon Adventures running from 93 to 95. So this is like prime time 90s kids cartoons running on the WB network in the middle of the afternoon.
So here's the deal. I feel I was a little too old for Animaniacs. I think I missed it by like a couple of years. I was a big Tiny Toons fan, which has to have predated it by quite a bit. Tiny Toons is what got me into the They Might Be Giants. Tiny Toons was just everything I loved in the youth. Animaniacs, what I know about them best was their really good theme song.
Well, what's funny about that is They Might Be Giants was... from the Animaniacs, not Tiny Toons.
No, it's not. Dude, you're fucking full of shit.
Istanbul, not Constantinople.
Was from...
Animaniacs, not Tiny Toons.
No, please, Ken, prove him wrong. Like, this is so... You are just full of baloney right now.
I am not full of baloney.
There's the duck in the commercial.
Well, Tiny Toons, it said, ran in 1990.
Ran in 90. It came first. Animaniacs spun out of that, but the songs, Istanbul, the other They Might Be Giant songs came for Animaniacs, came later. Because Animaniacs essentially was the smarter show.
Wait, stop. You're making my head hurt. Istanbul, not Constantinople, and
yes.
Particle Man were on Tiny Toons.
Animaniacs.
You are wrong. The world will come down on you. It'll crush your pea brain. It is not from Animaniacs. It's from Tiny Toons. Shut your mouth. It was a weird Tiny Toons MTV episode where they did like different videos. And I remember the duck that was like, I'm Particle Man and fighting Particle Man. Istanbul. No, shut up, Hambone. Shut up. Prove him wrong. Ken, you're taking too long. Find it, Stack Guy Ken. All right, keep talking about the new Animaniacs show. Why should we be excited? Why should kids today... Well, I get my breath because I'm so angry right now.
Yeah, but I actually see the vein. For those listening at home, he's got a vein in his forehead that is popping out and throbbing. It might be a hematoma. What's cool about it is it was one of the very first, to me, smart cartoons that was, you know, where you have cartoons that always have that one in joke that when you look at later on, you're like, wow, that joke really wasn't aimed at kids. This was a very smart, semi-educational TV show.
What was the beef?
That the... They Might Be Giant songs were on Animaniacs.
Both Particle Man and another They Might Be Giant song, Istanbul, were made into music videos featured on the Warner Brothers animated series Tiny Toon Adventures.
Eat my ass!
And the Plucky Duck Show.
Eat it! You fucking... You don't know anything! Tell me I'm right!
Break his back, make him humble, and then fuck his ass!
Sure, man, you're right.
You know nothing, John Hambone.
Hey, man, I'm just finally happy I'm starting to use show notes, so I could be wrong from
time
to time.
Where did you get that from? Where in your ass did you pull it from?
From watching it as a kid. It all bleeds together for me, man.
Anyway, I feel better about myself now.
Well, that's what it takes.
That's all it takes. It doesn't take much just to prove you wrong.
So other cartoons that were coming out around that time, it stood out along Batman the Animated Series, Superman Adventures, Cartoon Network. You had things like Johnny Bravo, the Powerpuff Girls, Foxhead, Tick, and the X-Men. So.
Yeah, this is way post-George. I was more like Gummy Bears, Tailspin, DuckTales. Woohoo. Like, that was my era.
Oh, now you're singing.
Well, you know, at least I was right about Istanbul. Never judge my pop culture knowledge. Like, how do you learn that?
Buddy.
Am I ever wrong about my pop culture? No, never about pop culture. Never.
I beg to differ.
No, you are wrong. Like, I am. Like,
I beg to differ.
I can pull the strangest thing on my ass. Obscure mid-90s.
You can pull the strangest thing out of your ass?
Strangest things.
Really?
Including you.
George, your wife is in the other room.
When it comes down to mid-90s punk rock trivia and anything pop culture related, I am the one, in most wrestling knowledge, I do not fail. Like, you don't doubt me. The only reason you're my friend is because I'm so smart. I complete you. The brain part. Like, I just don't understand how you could doubt me.
Oh my God. Well, yeah, this is kind of a big thing for Hulu. I think it's going to be pretty cool to get a throwback cartoon like this on something that's like really smart. And now with cartoons being what they are, they could be even more cheeky than they were in the early 90s.
So in today's smorgasbord that I've put down, mm-hmm. I have the chocolate covered cookie sandwiches. Ken, do you approve?
Yes. Those are those Farms cookies, right?
Yeah. And then we have the almond cookies over there.
Those are killer.
Those increase your libido, I hear. They make you more like
like windmills.
Voracious.
This would be the percentage of stuff that he knows nothing about. He's
this
just kind of making
this,
up as he
this
goes.
Stuff, I just make it up. I have no idea. And then there's lots of candy. So if you guys continue to come to My Thai Happy Hour, I will continue to feed you every week with Trader Joe cookies.
You know what? Wanna know what's funny? I was at band practice the other night for Secret Country, and Ryan Gross goes, "Hey, man, you going to hook me up with some Zots?" And I was like, "What do you know about Zots?" He's like, "I listen to the show."
I guess at this point we should be breaking for our commercial for Zots. As you all know, we are this show is brought to you by the great people at Zots. Zots candy, where you pop one in your mouth and it blows a load in your mouth.
George.
Just like Hambone. Ken,
George.
Ken, is a load being blown in your mouth right now?
I just got zotted.
You just got zotted. Zots, created in the 70s by the Zot Foundation, were actually originally used as a military experiment to infiltrate the Chinese. We shipped them over there. Zots in Chinese means little love muffin. And we were hoping that they would put them in their mouth. It would explode in their mouths. And it would turn into kind of like if you would drink Pop Rocks and Coke. The problem is it didn't work. It instead made them terribly addicted to Zots. Zots, when you eat them, they fizzle. Would you call that a fizzle?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a fizzle. It starts
like a bubbling.
You know, there's like a little... There's
fizz.
Little,
it's almost like a reverse word.
It's like a little nub. There are hard candy with little nubs on the side. And when you rub the nub and you rub the nub with your tongue and you keep rubbing it and keep rubbing it with your tongue, rubbing it and rubbing it, in about like a minute or so, it explodes in your mouth.
I feel like we should do like, you know, a real 80s can be like, "Ooh, Zots blows a load in your mouth. Ooh, cocaine in your mouth." Wasn't that the last?
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. And so
I love the Zots, quite honestly.
The Zots are the most amazing thing ever. My boss at work actually introduced me to Zots. He's like, "Here, this will help you get through the night. So you can get your work done."
They're great.
And he just kept dropping boxes of them. So I reached out to the Zot Corporation, and they were like, "What? You know who we are?" I'm like, "Yeah, watermelon Zots are the
so
best.
Good.
So good." The only problem is there's some pre-blown bags. So you have to shake them to make sure that some of them didn't blow the load in their pants. I mean, in the jackets, you know, in the little sleeves. They didn't blow their load in their sleeves. You have to pull the sleeve back.
My God.
So it can blow the load in your mouth. It's so good. Ian last week had a bad reaction to them.
He did. He did not enjoy the Zots.
But I think in general, Zots are healthy.
You know, if you really
are they FDA
move
approved?
It around in your mouth, you can really get a big foaming lather going.
Yes, yes, absolutely. What's your favorite flavor of Zot, Ken?
I'm kind of torn between both the watermelon, the blue raspberry, and the apple.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the blue raspberry, and I like the orange, too.
I like torture candy.
Yes.
What I refer to this as.
Yes.
Like atomic
warhead.
Fireballs.
Warheads.
Warheads, atomic fireballs, like the really spicy, like weird. So this is right there. I love Zots.
Yeah, I love Zots, too. Anyway, thanks again to the Zot Corporation. You can reach them at Zots.com. Zots candy. Blow a load in your mouth.
Jesus. Cocaine for your tongue.
Cocaine for your tongue. Wow.
So what else are we talking about today, Hambone?
Oh, we're going to talk about the cassette tape sales surge.
Zots, make sure you lick both holes.
Both. It will help it blow faster. Blow faster.
Oh, my God.
It's just the way it works in this world. So cassettes. All right, let's. I'm going to be real here. I think this is terrible. This is terrible news. I grew up in an age where we were forced to listen to tapes. I hated tapes. My parents...
You weren't forced to listen to vinyl. Did exist then.
Vinyl did exist when I was first growing up, and I loved vinyl. I had my parents' record player. I would like pull out Prince's Purple Rain or Michael Jackson's Thriller, lay it down that needle, and listen to wonderfulness. Tapes, however, were what I could afford. At least in the early 90s, I could largely only afford tapes, even though they were quite expensive at $13.99.
Tapes fit better in his pocket when he was walking out of stores with them, too.
Records were fairly cheap, but they were being
allegedly
kind of phased out then.
They were portable. CDs were big. But CDs weren't in my price range as a poor little
I remember
Greek
the
boy.
Pre-CD, you know, rise, so where it was all cassettes and vinyl.
Well, I do remember that a little bit, but I had no money at that era. That was like George's age 1 to like 12. There was no money for anything. Just in general, I would have had to rely on my parents. They probably would have bought me a tape, not a definitely no CD. I didn't get my first CD player until I was 16 on my 16th birthday. So that would be like 94 I got my first CD player. But tapes I would buy because they're affordable. Yes, duping double well tape decks. I could dupe them off my friends, and they were portable Walkman. I had a Walkman on my head at all times. But none of this was a good thing. They still sounded like shit. They would break apart. I'd have to learn how to fix them. Not a fan of the tape thing. So talk to us, Hambone. Why are tapes so popular now with the youngins?
Guardians of the Galaxy. Star-Lord had a cassette tape. People are really, really getting into trading tapes again.
So it looks like in 2016, cassette sales rose 74% to 129,000 units. That's a, you know, now what's even funnier is that's 129,000 units by comparison. There was 13.1 million records, vinyl records sold that year.
It's crazy.
And the CD keeps going down and down and down.
The CD is not worth the product that's printed on.
I feel weird like when someone gives me, like I hate when bands give me a free CD. It's like, I really am just going to rip this and throw it in a bin. Like it's not going
anywhere.
Whenever
I go to see a band now, I always buy a t-shirt. Like, oh, you want to buy a CD too? I'm like, why did you even waste money printing these fucking things?
I have no idea. So according to The Verge, helping the cassette boom are a few factors. For one, the official soundtrack for Guardians of the Galaxy is huge. Despite its 2014 release, we're talking about the original Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
The soundtrack featured heavily in the movie, personal mixtape of Chris Pratt. It sold 4,000 units last year. That brings its total to 11,000 units since its release.
You know what the shocking thing to me is?
What?
4,000 people still have cassette decks.
No, well, I think they're coming back like the record player.
Why?
Justin Bieber also had a big album, and The Weeknd's Beauty Behind the Madness, also released in 2015, sold around 1,000 cassettes. That's crazy that we're talking about a lot as if it's like 3,000 to 4,000 units is a big deal.
Well, it's funny to me because a band I like called Diet Sig, they released a cassette, I think, last year. And a band that you see on tour now, they're also releasing cassettes. And my thing is, like, I remember not wanting to buy vinyl when I was a kid because I couldn't take it with me. Like, I like the idea of the cassette. But now it's like trying to figure out how to hunt down a actual working cassette deck to take with me to listen to the one cassette that I have in my pocket versus like the 90,000 songs I have access through my phone. It's like, I mean, it's a niche product right now. I would be shocked if it lasts another couple of years.
Let's be honest too. What was appealing about the cassette tape back then in the early 90s was that you could dub your friend's tape. Like, it was the mixtape. You know how many I used to have music to mate to? I used to give it to girls I had a crush on. I have a couple mixtapes upstairs. The music to mate to, and I'm like, hey, baby, here's my tape. Take off your pants.
What was on the tape?
Usually the Descendants and like...
Informer.
I'm sure the Offspring were on there.
Yeah.
Actually, I have one upstairs still.
Let's fuck to songs about us hating our parents. Good call. That's some power sex
music
there.
Songs to mate to. That was my big thing, and I would use it. I'd be like, you know, I basically would just be like, hey, baby, want to have a baby with me?
That's the worst.
And now you can hear my baby in the background.
Yeah.
Someone did. And I don't know what she was thinking.
So Ken, you're shaking your head as we're saying that cassettes are balls. What are you thinking?
Well, you're right. It's super niche. It's been going strong since I think 2014, 2015 was a real kind of resurgence of cassette tapes. I will disagree because there are a lot of cassettes that are very high grade quality and they can sound very good compared to a record or to a CD.
You're talking like reel to reel though. You're not talking like
no. There are some high grade chrome cassettes. I'm talking cassette tapes. I mean, you know, if you want to look at reel to reel and DAT is a tape, you know, in nature, and it is better quality than a CD and always has been. So, I mean, is it niche now where we have digital, you know, you have digital players for the road and you have your records for home? Yes. But I mean, obviously there's interest in it. I see it big in that retro wave music scene. And that's centered around the 80s, that whole kind of look and sound of that music that you've heard in Drive and that you've heard in video games by fairly well-known artists. A lot of them are French. You know, that's where I see those cassettes. And, you know, sometimes they do filter into the punk scene. They're cheap. You could get cassettes made, full album, J-card, everything for a lot cheaper than a CD.
Oh, or a record. Or a record.
Well, records, forget about it.
Well, records are always cost prohibitive.
$5,000 just to get a plate made.
What's funny is that I collected records because they were $9, making them cheaper than tapes and cheaper than CDs. And I could copy them using my parents' like the big unit they had with the record player and the tape deck.
Right.
Copy them to tape. Get, you know, listen, sorry, I got Zod in my mouth. It's about to explode.
I just think it's funny that consumers are pushing old formats back because they were forced by big companies to abandon those formats for the formats that those big companies wanted to pursue. I mean, I still use my mini disc player. It still is an awesome format.
Yeah,
to
but
me.
The mini disc player is one of the best sounding mediums ever. It just to catch on outside of Japan.
And it's super, you know, it's sad because it's super for a musician. You know, it is a versatile, and at the time, there wasn't a portable digital player, like recorder, for a musician. And I used it. I know very few musicians that did. But, you know, now it's like everyone gets the digital, you know, whatever, Zoom-type recorder, which is awesome.
And that's another thing. At the end of Guardians 2, he got a Zune. So wait for it. I mean, that'll be the next thing coming back.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I mean, that was just basically the iPod. I mean, that was, I had the Dell DJ.
Yeah, it was the Microsoft
iPod. Dell DJ?
Dell DJ was their version of the iPod. It was actually a very nice, well-made iPod dupe or whatever it is. I think this is a fad. I don't think it's going to hit the level of collectability that vinyl is.
Probably not. And it has been going on, though, for about 3 years, so.
Well, I mean, there's some fun things with it. I follow this dude, the Homeless Gospel Choir. He's an awesome, awesome artist. And if you have not yet, definitely check him out. He makes really, really great, fun music. He does an actual cassette swap with people. Like he will, you could reach out to him and then he'll send you a box of cassettes. You send him a box of cassettes and it's a tape trade, which I think is pretty cool. I think that's like something that's fun to do within like, you know, the punk rock community. Like for me, nothing's going to replace my phone. Because that's where all my music is. That's where I could dial down music in a minute. Do you guys know what the original streaming of songs was? When you used to call the fucking radio station, be like, "Can you play Bohemian Rhapsody for me?" And they play it, and you would just tape it.
You know, honestly, my last album I was gonna put out on cassette. I was right there, ready to pull the trigger. I knew no one would listen to it, but it's just like a fun, weird thing. Like,
oh yeah,
oh my god, like. Just to see your band name printed on something.
It's pretty cool.
Is pretty cool.
Yeah, I still have an attic full of cassette tapes. The one thing I do keep are my...
All melted.
I do keep my videotapes, mostly because I have a lot of the original WWE Coliseum videos that have the original music.
Oh, I thought you were going to say...
Money!
Yeah. I thought he was going to go with out of print pornography, but...
The big problem...
That too.
The big problem is finding a VCR that won't eat my tapes.
Good luck with that.
I would tell you, cassettes, people do buy audio cassettes, so you can sell those. Video cassettes are also a weird niche thing that, you know, sometimes you'll see very high prices on original stuff. I am like you. I have boxes of VHS, not knowing what to do with them. But you have to, like any collection, you have to find a buyer for it.
Well, I'm not looking to sell. I'm looking to just get them out of my parents' attic.
Oh?
It's like my comic book collection.
I'm sure someone has a VHS. I know that is a thing.
I'm sure that if you showed up at Geekly with a bunch of old wrestling tapes, they would go.
Yeah. Well, you could actually get money for those. Like, those go for hundreds.
Yeah,
really?
I have a lot of the Coliseum. I sold a few.
For money.
I have In Your House Mind Games. I have In Your House Bad Blood. I have In Your House like...
The ECW, the original ECW DVDs and VHS.
I have the entire set of the Pioneer ECW DVDs. I have Never to One Heatwave, Dudley Boys,
yeah,
the
I
whole...
Yeah, I have quite a few myself, so...
And, yeah.
Those are worth... So you know.
Those...
Pretty much, he knows.
That's the only other thing I know that's worth something that I have that shouldn't be worth something is I have the original... Iron Maiden CD B-sides box set in the sarcophagus, the metal sarcophagus with the scroll and the ring and the shot glass.
Cool. I mean, there are some weird CDs that are worth money, like all the original Kid Rock albums are put out on his label, Top Dog.
All the tapes.
Those are worth, like, each CD is like over 100. You know, that's what you're talking. It's weird, though. You have to find... Again, like any collection, someone's got to want it.
Just go up in my attic, take off all my clothes, and just swim in my money bank. Swim in my money bank.
Yeah, that's Gabe's college fund right there. That's right. All the old Coliseum VHSs.
Just
going to
throw a few in my pocket and bounce.
Yeah.
There you go.
Actually, it's in my parents' attic is what you would have to
do. So you would actually be able to go there. They'd make you dinner first, and then you can
rob
them. And
you'd have to crawl with those knees all the way.
His dad would actually probably help me load it up. Oh, you're taking this off my hands?
Perfect.
Get this shit out of my house. Ah. So... That's where I am with tapes. I just think this is the dumbest idea ever. But we'll take a look. Look, kids find... I collect vinyl. Vinyl, again, I bought because it was the only thing I could afford. Now it's a like rich man's
it's
hobby.
Rich man's sport.
Yeah, which is crazy. Like,
and it's just like a blink of an eye, all records were suddenly like $30.
Yeah.
Well, remember, pre-Kurt Cobain used to be able to go get a Jazzmaster for like nothing. Pennies on the dollar.
I mean...
Well, that's not true. Fenders used to cost a lot of money, but they were...
You would always be able to find beat up like off... Like, it was either Strats or Tellies.
It's weird how that works.
But it's the minute someone gets into something, the prices go right up.
It
blows
it
right up.
You couldn't even find Mustangs after he had them. But then again, they hadn't made them in like 20 years. They were student guitars.
Still.
But that's a story for another day. Did I see Allison just like blitz by me?
She's sneaking into the kitchen.
She's floating around.
Is she making like baby food?
Maybe.
Is Mr. Cookies okay? No. No, is he teething? Do you have the Tylenol?
Oh, he's got teeth coming in.
Tell him I love him.
He's got a full set of dentures ready.
Big G loves little G.
His teeth are already better than mine.
Yeah. His teeth have been tough this week.
That's tough.
Yeah. Luckily, he's still sleeping
through
the night.
You know.
Sleeping through the night is...
Bone is puncturing through skin and ripping it apart.
I can't even imagine.
Wolverine, you know, in your mouth.
It's like, why? Why? You don't need teeth. Well,
Yeah, you kind of do.
He's been screaming uncontrollably upstairs.
Yeah, I've been hearing it the entire time, just playing through.
For what it's worth, I've heard that you can't hear any of that on the final tape.
Well, thank God.
Thank God.
Yeah.
You couldn't even hear Google Home last time.
Because otherwise, there's going to be a lot of people listening to this podcast, driving home from work, feeling really guilty about something, and they don't know why. Like, something's just going to be eating away at their souls, and they don't know why.
It's our crying child.
Because
it's
like that, they're very like, oh, that's a good one.
You can, yes.
I'm sure you can
pause at the right moment.
You're just sitting there like, what is this underlying hum? It's a child crying.
Telling George how to like put in the different megahertzes of sounds to really influence the listener. So that's part of it.
Subliminal
messages.
I'm very lucky that my little foam earplugs I use upstairs overnight are the perfect frequency of a child screaming. That's nice. It's a wonderful thing, except for the fact that Allison refuses to use them. So then I just feel shame.
Yeah.
Shame.
Is my bell down here? You know I have a shame bell.
You have a shame bell?
I have a shame bell upstairs, and one time I waited for Allison to get out of the shower, and she was like naked walking towards the bedroom. I just walked behind her going, shame.
I'm
a horrible husband.
How has she not divorced you at least three times?
I have no idea.
You realize that you are a very lucky man.
I am a very lucky
man. And she could be canonized as a saint.
I have a unicorn.
You do.
I have a unicorn.
You really do.
You really do.
You know what the key to this is? You get them young.
Sure.
The problem is now you're really old,
that's
worse.
It doesn't mean it that way.
You get them young when you're really young.
Okay, thank you. Please specify.
You need to get them young now.
They've been dating since high school, like legally and legitimately.
Okay, real talk.
I know a lot of couples like that.
Are you really upset about Stanley right now?
Nah. I think at this point it's become such a thing where it happens so often. It happens at least once a week, twice a week. Someone comes out and says, "Oh, this person's a jerk." So you're just kind of playing through.
Did Stan Lee come out as a jerk?
He allegedly has been groping and fondling his nurses who take care of them, demanding oral sex and pleasures in the bedroom.
I feel like that's not new news.
Walking around naked in his house.
I feel like I've heard weird stuff like back in the day when he was an artist.
Well, you know what? Well, yeah, but you know he's been married. He was married to his wife for forever, and she passed away recently. And he's 95 years old. And
he wants to live the rest of his life.
I think he just wants to get one more in, and then he can go out.
So Stanley and George H.W. Bush get passes. Is that how we go?
I'm not necessarily giving him a pass. I just saying I get it because he. When we met him, he didn't really have all his faculties.
So I gotta tell you the truth, Hampo.
Yeah, I mean you can't rate a man at that age.
It's not right what he's doing.
But he also probably can't remember that he's doing it.
So when we were taking our photo with him, I was standing next to him and I felt a hand grab my ass.
Well, I've massaging. Seen your ass, I believe it.
And then I found out later it was actually Ian.
Yeah.
It was Ian. So I almost blamed him. I was like, "Oh, you're a dirty old man. Don't touch my ass."
Yeah, I think at a point of shell shock with everyone coming out as being a not nice person. I'm not in any way condoning Stanley's actions. I just kind of look at it like
most of the dudes who've been like fingered are like ugly dudes.
Yeah, like
too. None of them are pretty. Remotely pretty.
Did your phone just go off mid-podcast?
So technically, it went off through my laptop, which I guess I didn't turn off the ringer on the laptop.
Is she crafty? That's all I want to know. Is
she crafty? No, it is my partner from work.
Your partner.
She is crafty.
She is crafty.
She's kind of crafty. But it's not like that. Like
she's a salesperson. She's crafty in
hotel rooms.
No,
alone.
George, long
stretches of road. Like that baby is screaming upstairs.
He's howling. Yeah. So I mean, I'm hoping that the Stan Lee stuff we find out to be not true, but who knows? In this day and age, it probably is.
Not.
Hambone's turning a weird shade of pink right now.
Once you're exposed, it's over.
Yeah, I mean that's but
because he's thinking about crafting.
Who, Stan Lee?
You.
No, I'm not thinking about crafting.
Are you crafty, Hambone? Find yourself crafty? No, you can barely paint.
You used to make those bottle cap magnets.
George! Well, we did that for like 1 year to make a little extra cash. They were really easy to make at the Geek Flea.
But it wasn't because you were crafty. It was you were desperate.
Yes, because I was desperate for money. It's a very different kind of, you know, different kind of craft.
I don't buy that.
So let's talk about the end of the fucking world, which it sounds like what's going on upstairs.
I know, man.
And like, I'm actually trying to figure out whether I should run upstairs and go check on the baby.
Why don't we pause the podcast for a second so you can go check on the kid?
And I'm back, and the baby is now much better. I used my daddy magic.
Daddy magic.
So I have crazy daddy magic. I just like touched him, and he was like,
"Quiet,
father. I am ready for your charm." That was weird. I don't know why I said that.
I feel like you're going off the rails tonight with the creepy stuff.
I'm sorry. I had a screaming baby upstairs. That's not where my mind was. Plus, do you want to talk about boilers? Okay, let's talk about boilers.
Okay.
I'm 40. We're talking boilers. My fucking boiler blew downstairs, but it didn't blow like most boilers. And this is not a bad thing, but most boilers blow at the bottom, so water comes pouring out. But mine blew off.
Water broke.
It blew at the top. It exploded up top. And boilers are a lot of fucking money, and I didn't realize that until I started getting estimates. And we're talking about like high single thousands.
It's a lot of dough, bro.
But you know what I hate more than anything in this world is contractors and dealing with contractors and dealing with. Like I have to get a few bids because everybody's all over the place. And I might get screwed. And I don't know who's shady who's not. But at the very least, contractors don't know how to show up on time.
Yeah, well,
it's like Greek time. It's like they're
at their mercy.
Yeah, I'm stuck. I'm stuck missing work.
Greek time.
It's horrible.
You can say that.
Got three contractors coming in here. They're all late. The first one is like $9,300. The SKU was $9,300 to $6,600. Do you know how big of a SKU that is?
That's a lot.
And I think I'm going to give it to the cheaper guy only. Oh, and there was another one that was like $7,500 in there too. But I might actually go with the cheaper one, not because he's cheap, but because he showed up on fucking time.
That'll do it.
I want you to know, like, I'm giving it to him because he had the courtesy. And the first one, I had to call them to find out what they are. And they always make you feel like...
that you're the asshole.
Yeah, I'm the asshole. You were supposed to be here hour ago.
I'm out of job.
So, and then it gets worse. It turns out the boiler is fucked because the chimney flue was fucked because it's not in code. And now I got to do 3 more bids and estimates on the chimney.
Yeah, you got to hire Dick Van Dyke to go down your chimney.
And chimney people are the worst. Chimney people will rape you. Like, it is not even, like, chimney sweeps are the bane of my existence. Like, they will just, like, be, hey, we got to sweep your chimney. It's $2,000. And I'm like, but the boiler's $6,000. Like, I can't with this crap.
You're not winning this week.
I'm so 40. Like, I'm so 40.
Yeah.
You got a baby upstairs screaming.
Wow.
Welcome.
I'm fixing boilers.
This week's episode took a turn, huh, Ken?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm bitching about those little kids and their cassette tapes.
Yeah, wow. Get off my lawn!
Back in my day!
So, I really, really... I saw the preview for End of the Fucking World.
Yeah.
It's British. I'm liking the British stuff this year.
You were a big fan of the Brits.
Dark, now the... Well, Dark was German. But now, the End of the Fucking World, I just saw the preview and I'm watching it. It's basically... The gist of the story is two teenagers, they're like in their mid-teens, they're like 15, 16... There's a boy and he's a sociopath and he realizes that he's probably a serial killer. He just wants to get it off his chest and just start killing because he needs to, like, he knows that's what his future is. Like, it's like when you know as a child, like, I knew I was gonna be a journalist as a young child. You knew you were gonna be a weirdo. You knew you were gonna sell blenders.
There you go.
In this case, he knew he was gonna be a sociopath, and you know, he like started killing cats at a young age, and now he's like, I will finally do it. I'm just gonna get it off my chest. I'm just gonna pop the zoink zing the zot in my mouth and like open it up on someone. And he's like, I've met this girl, I'll do it to her, I'll kill her first. But then she kind of falls in love with him, and then they go on a road trip and hilarity ensues.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. It's based off of a comic that was written by a man named Charles Forsman. It was originally produced through his Oily Comics as a bunch of mini comics. It's out now currently for through Fantagraphics. You can get it on Amazon. And what's pretty cool about it is it gave me a very Todd Solondz vibe, like Welcome to the Dollhouse, where the characters are all broken and
I'll go there.
Yeah, and then I ended up starting to watch it today, and it's all 20-minute episodes on Netflix. They're all out now. I watched the entire thing. I sat there thinking to myself, I'm only going to watch the first 3 episodes so we could talk about it on the air tonight. And the next thing that you know, I watched all 8 episodes. You know, I felt like part of it, as seeing the whole thing as a whole, I think part of it works good as a TV show, but on the whole, it would have been better as just a movie. Because
at a 4-hour movie, 3.5-hour.
It's 2 hours and 20 minutes, essentially, all the parts together.
Hmm.
And with that, like, I'll tell you, it's engaging. Like, it's one of those things that you don't mean to binge watch, but you end up watching the whole thing and you're glad you did.
Ken, are you going to say something? I don't want to cut you off. You're up to the mic. You've, like, blamed it.
Mickey and Mallory Knox. That's it. That's
I felt it was a little bit like Ghost World too, like that type of humor,
like Daniel Klaus humor.
Yeah, someone called this. The Atlantic called it a Wes Anderson screenplay that's been rejected for being too dark.
I would 100% agree with that. What it really did remind me of was a book called Kill Your Boyfriend that Grant Morrison wrote. I want to say in 1995. It's very Grant Morrison, a guy and a gal go on a murder shopping spree. Wackiness ensues. They hate their parents. They need to get away from everybody. It's very similar in a lot of ways, even to the almost to the point of the turn in the end, where they end up actually falling in love and realizing that maybe life isn't so bad. It's two broken people who are actually healing each other just by being around each other. It's very, very similar to Grant Morrison, except it didn't have like the doofy twist at the end, like that Grant Morrison always has to do because he's Grant Morrison.
Yeah, when we saw the trailer, I was like, the whole time I'm watching, I'm like, this is good. And Allison then looks at me and goes, yeah, that's a show you're gonna watch alone.
Yeah, it's bleak, but at the same time, it feels kind of warm, and it does. There's some very dark nicety to it. Where you're watching it.
Dark nicety. Nice, Hambo. Nice.
Thank you. I have show notes. It is very nice. And towards the end of the season, I don't know if it's going to get picked up for a season two. They end it in a way where the story can just be over if they want it to be, or they could find a way to make a second season. I prefer that it just be a one season, one and done thing. But you're rooting for the right people that you want to root for in the end.
We felt that way about Stranger Things 2, and I thought Stranger Things season 2 was better than Stranger Things season 1.
Way to get to the end of this. This is pretty much a story that's kind of a one and done story.
You don't think there's going to be a second season?
Knowing Netflix, there will be. I don't think there needs to be.
Yeah.
I will tell you, though, that the comic actually does have an alternate ending. There's a couple things that were changed between the comic itself and the Netflix series. Things that I feel could go both ways, where it makes a little more sense the way that they do it on TV, making it so there could be a second season in the comic. The way that they wrote it, it's pretty much a done deal.
So you can choose whether you want to see this show or not. I don't think it's for everybody, but I think this line alone from The Atlantic says it best. Flashback scenes show the boy, Jonathan Entwistle, is that his name? No, that's the director. The boy's name is what, James? James.
Yep.
James, yes. Flashback scenes show him killing animals and thrusting his hand into a deep fat fryer, saying to himself, I just want to make myself feel something.
Is that how you felt as a teen?
Yeah, if that's how, no, I was always happy and glee.
Yeah.
There was no sadness in my heart. I've always been this happy and jovial. Shut your mouth. I was right about Tiny Toons.
Of course you were. Of course you were.
Dude, but I was right.
I know you were.
I was right. I was completely right.
I yield.
Is this a show you would watch, Ken?
Definitely.
It takes you so long to move from the recline position. I need to get an extender arm for your mic.
I'm 4 years older than you.
Yeah, and you can barely walk. Yeah. Look, so I want to apologize for hurting you the other day. I didn't know
you couldn't hurt me.
I didn't know you couldn't take a DDT to your knees. Really feel bad, and I will not do it again. Just so you know, I've been practicing all year to do super kicks. Super kick, as we all know, is a variation of which sweet chin music is my hero, my lord and savior.
Sliding sidekick.
It's a sliding sidekick. My hero, Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid's finishing move. I've been trying to master it ever since Hambone told me he was now flexible enough to do a super kick. I'm like, well, if Hambone can do super kicks, I have to learn how to do super kicks.
And super kick you did.
So I, in the course of an afternoon, learned how to master the super kick, including the little click on the leg. I did it. I'm proud of myself. I haven't hurt anyone yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Close.
Yeah, close.
Yeah, and I just want that to be known that I'm proud of myself. That's why I'm proud of myself this week. Every new year, new George. Pride.
I like the
pride.
New George.
Yeah. Happy.
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 Friendly. Angry.
Happy.
Tough.
Yeah. So things that make me happy right now are the WWE. Oh, wait. We still have a lot to cover. We haven't even done the...
we don't need to talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
We want to do that next week with Josh?
Yeah, let's talk about it next week with Josh.
Yeah. Let's do the mixed match. Or do you care, Ken? Well, you're going to be here next week anyway.
Yeah, we'll do the whole music episode.
That's fine.
The Kirk Douglas of West Orange.
The sexiest man alive.
So the WWE...
Do you know that Josh does not put anything in his hair?
Shut up.
Yep.
Lies.
No, he just glows onto it.
God,
I don't know why I just said that.
So the WWE has a new thing that they're going to be doing, premiering next January 16th, premiering this January 16th, next Tuesday on Facebook Live. It is the WWE Mix Match Tag Team Competition. And in this competition, they are going to do intergender tag teams. The prize is a cash prize to go to the charities of the winner of the competition. So far, they've announced 10 teams. I want to read them down. I want to get your thoughts on them.
Come on.
Cool. Well, yeah.
Just read them. Just name them.
Acknowledge me, man.
Acknowledge you. I will acknowledge you that I hate mixed tag team matches. And then we'll go and read the list. Go ahead.
Well, why do you hate mixed tag team matches?
I never liked them. They've always been lame, with the exception, even including the past year's mixed tag with John Cena and Nikki Bella and The Miz and Maurice. I just find them to be boring, especially since the WWE doesn't allow any male-female interaction. So it's really just women. It does nothing for me.
Well, I mean,
Hambone loves the world's cutest tag team.
I do love the world's cutest tag team. And I'm hoping that the WWE actually is like, okay, we're going to let some actual male-female action happen. Let them fight.
And look, it doesn't need to be like Lucha Underground. I do have a tough time with my suspension of disbelief, believing that like a 100-pound girl soaking wet can beat up like the monster Matanza or you know the big Cueto guy. Like there's I have a tough time with male female where the woman can feasibly win, but in this case it's just like I wish there was. I just always found it to be so hokey, and I've never loved how they presented it up till now. That said, I think the WWE has done an incredible job setting up these tag teams, particularly the vignette social videos they've been running, premiering these tags.
So if you follow the WWE Mixed Match Tag Competition on Facebook, every day they're announcing new teams, and they're doing different video vignettes to get you psyched for the competition. So today's announcement was Big E and Carmella, which was awesome. They did a great 80s montage with the song from Rocky IV, getting her to train how to eat pancakes. We also got Rusev and Lana, which is pretty much right over the plate. Sami Zayn and Becky Lynch. Bobby Roode and Charlotte Flair, who have been doing some great vignettes as well. Finn Balor and Sasha Banks. The one I'm not excited about, Elias Samson and Bayley, should have been Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joe's injured. He can't put that on him. It should have been Bayley and Finn Balor or Bayley and John Cena. Like,
well, it was either going to be Elias or it was going to be Jason Jordan at this point. Yeah, so Miz and Asuka, which is going to be the team to beat. Braun Strowman and Alexa Bliss, same as above. Goldust and Alicia Fox, and then Shinsuke Nakamura and Natalya.
So, Ken, what are your thoughts on mixed tag team matches?
I'm not really into them, and I like the work Joey Ryan did with Candice LeRae, and I especially give Candice LeRae a lot of credit because there's matches where they've fought another male team, and she's bladed herself. So I'm, like, into women, you know, playing the same as guys in those roles, but I've never been a fan of, like, you know, China taking on, you know, being in the Rumble or Nicole Bass or, you know, whether girls are, like, muscular or not, and, like, you could sustain, you know, suspend some belief, but there's something about it. I don't know. I like just seeing the girls fight the girls and the guys fight the guys, I guess.
You know, I'm for it. I mean, I understand to a certain degree with suspension and disbelief. I don't want to see... it's going to be hard to believe that Alexa Bliss is going to be able to take out Braun Strowman when Roman Reigns can't take out Braun Strowman. That said, you know, you've got someone like Charlotte Flair. I fully believe Charlotte Flair could take out Bobby Roode, no problem.
Okay, well, first of all, that's not who she's fighting.
They're
partner.
Partners.
Well, you asked me what I thought of mixed gender wrestling, and I'm telling you, dick.
But it's not wrestling. It's mixed tag, mixed... go ahead.
Anyway, I feel it. I'm psyched about it. I think it's cool. I actually hope they let the gals get a few punches in on the dudes.
I love the fact that Vince McMahon is once again, 4 years after the premiere of 4 years after the premiere of the network, he's once again trying something state of the art and new. Up till now, Facebook video has been low budget, low end crap, even from major production studios. For WWE to be trying to do their own television show on Facebook Live, I'm impressed. I'm also impressed. I mean, it's making me enough where I'm going to try to download it onto my Apple TV so I can watch it in, you know, basically new media and old media.
Yeah, right. But can't you just sling it to your TV from your phone?
I don't sling shit. I don't believe in slinging. I sling nothing.
Wow.
I don't believe that to be a Vince thing, though, per se. It's like whoever's leading his, you know, internet division, which could be Shane.
Yeah,
that's
but
something Shane
it
did
could, it, in
did
China. Yeah,
WWE's always been ahead of the curve with the internet. They were early adopters of everything.
I mean, Vince has been ahead of the curve in the sense of, you know, expanding the video and all. But you know that I agree. But they have a lot of money. They're a big company. Of course, they will. ROH is not going to do that because they're right. Trying to focus on, you know, being a bigger company.
I also, besides mixing up male and female, I also find it's a little strange that they're mixing up heels and faces.
That 100% agree with you on. That does, you know, there's some things that it doesn't make sense to me.
And by heels and faces, I mean good guys and bad guys or girls.
Right.
That's a little weird. I do love the fact that I really don't think they told the people who their partner is. So they've done these weird reveals that in some cases, like when Goldust, clearly they said, hey, we're going to do a time lapse of you putting on your makeup. And they told Alicia, go to that room. Your partner will be inside that room shooting a video. And they're capturing these candid moments where I really, you see them go, oh my God, you're my partner. I think that's real.
No, I believe that. I do believe that. Like when Oscar showed up in a limo and Miz was cutting a promo and she steps out, and he's like, are you my partner? He seemed genuinely excited.
Yes. Well, I don't know why she had the balloons though. That was weird.
I think it was to cover her face while she was in the back of the limo while she stepped out.
That was still strange because they had already announced it. Ken, you want to say something or are you just zotting it up?
The zot is going ape in my mouth right now.
What flavor is it?
I think it's blue raspberry.
Blue raspberry. The blue raspberries are solid.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm glad you're enjoying the Zots. Are you excited for the Mixed Match Challenge? Are you going to watch it?
I am. You know, I think it's interesting, like the whole, like you said, like streaming to Facebook, that's a whole kind of new avenue for them. And whether or not I'm into, you know, intergender wrestling, I'm still going to watch it. I think the whole, you know, mixing the heels and faces up is, you know, this could be a test. Maybe they want to see if this is a time they could turn Bayley heel or Alexa Bliss face, as it seems like that's the avenue they're pushing her on. So, you know, this is what I think it might become of having some of these people team together.
Yeah. Anyway, that wraps up our show today. We will be back next week with the Punk Rock Canon. We will be back with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and concert stuff. We're going to wrap up all the stuff we've been holding on to way too long. In the meantime, what do you guys love this week? Hambone, what do you love?
I've got two things I'm very specifically happy about this week. First and foremost, Impact has a four-sided ring again. They got rid of the six-sider.
What?
They did. It just dropped it today. Tonight's the first taping under Scott D'Amore and Don Callis. So we're going to see how it shakes out. And Austin Aries also popped up tonight, too. Back in Impact.
It was a four-sided ring a few years back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad I hate the four-side ring.
I hate the six-side rings with the fire of a thousand burning suns.
Yep.
The other thing I'm very excited about, you know, when Ken got here tonight, we were talking about how we have been unable to stop thinking about the Wrestle Kingdom 12. Well, today, Chris Jericho dropped on his podcast, an hour and 25 minutes with Kenny Omega, where they broke down how it happened, why it happened, and they broke down the match, and they gave a lot of behind-the-scenes looking at what happened. So at first, I was kind of like, well, I guess this really does mean there is absolutely no kayfabe left in the world, but I was good with it. I was really excited to listen to that podcast today.
Yeah, I don't know what kayfabe means, but Ken, what things do you love this week?
This week, I loved Wrestle Kingdom. I loved hanging out with Don Becker, and we all went to his house, and George gave me a DDT on the floor and broke my kneecap, which I had to go get surgery on. No, I didn't, but I fooled George, and I got him back for it. And
that was a great rib.
That was actually what I enjoyed the most this week, is selling and ribboning George. But really, Wrestle Kingdom, if you haven't watched it, go watch it. It is a little different than American wrestling, but spot on. George, what'd you love this week, bud?
I as you all know, I have my own cult. I've been trying very hard to ramp it up because I need a retirement plan because 401k just isn't going to cut it. I need cult followers. I need to become a better cult leader to the few people I have. Obviously, you are weekly attendees to my sermons, which this is kind of what this show really is. But I've been trying so hard to learn from some of the greats. For the last few weeks, as you know, I've been trying to read a book a month. Well, this month, I am reading amazing cult leader. This is just fascinating. This guy was like the white Martin Luther King Jr. This is the story of the Road to Jonestown. Jim Jones and the People's Temple.
Wow.
By Jeff, it could be Guinn, G-U-I-N, and I'm butchering it. He also did Manson, another great cult leader. I am like just so enraptured by the story. This is a guy, Jim Jones, who was like almost saintly. This guy wasn't out for money. This guy wasn't out for anything but to create the perfect utopia of black and white people living together. He had issues with needing to have sex with a lot of people. And he also was kind of a strange egomaniac slash, like, he was just really,
really... He's a cult leader.
There's nothing wrong. Don't use that like a slur. John Hambone.
I slur it.
But he really was trying to do good things by getting people of different races to join together and create a utopia. And then like people like came into his world to destroy it. And he chose.
Gee, I wonder why.
And he chose to kill himself and 1,000 other followers by drinking poisonous Kool-Aid. But I am just, this book is so good. It's so in-depth. It's so detailed. Like, look, I was kidding around a little bit, but this guy really was ahead of his time as far as, like, now, I know he was just trying to find as many converts as he could, and low-hanging fruit was poor black people in, like, in the 60s and 70s. Especially, like, the craziest thought about Jonestown is the fact that this, like, crazy, middle-aged white guy was able to get, like, 1,000, like, old black women and babies and children to move to, like, another country to, and then kill themselves at his beck and you know, his, yes, by just saying, do this.
And that's what we call a salesman.
I fascinating, fascinating story.
He's crafty.
Ken. He's so crafty. I recommend it. The Road to Jonestown, Jim Jones and the People's Temple by Jeff Ginn. Definitely check it out. I'm doing the audiobook right now, but I'm probably going to buy it too. This is such great knowledge, and I'm just learning so much that I can adapt to my cult, minus obviously the killing. You know, no drinking Kool-Aid. I want people to live. You know, it's tough. Nah, I'm not a fan. Nah, no stabby stabby. I'm not a big, you know, no. Not going to kill anybody.
Now, DDT, he's a big fan of.
I'll DDT everybody. Yeah. I'll super kick everybody, but I won't kill them. Ken Lucas, how can the kids reach you?
You could follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Curse, KURSSC, or Zombie Gentleman, which you should be following me because I make a lot of cool art and I sell it and you should buy it. And a website's coming very, very soon. Very soon. Very soon.
Have you thought of just going all in on your, like, Facebook page?
Well, I'm trying to do daily updates on Instagram, which publish to the Facebook page.
Yeah, all right, that's good. It's just Instagram doesn't, you know.
Great, thanks.
It's not easy to make money with Instagram.
I know.
And then once again, in Boner.
Folks, you can find me on Twitter at Handbreaker. I mostly tweet. Oh, Lord. I mostly tweet about Dungeons and Dragons and pro wrestling and whatever kind of pop culture stuff I find on there. And the crafts. George, where can they find you?
They can reach me. They can reach me at GLK Creative on Instagram, at GLK Creative on Twitter. They can find me at Cult of George, where they can join my cult. I will not kill you. I promise. Just come. Listen to me preach the good Lord's work about Hambone. Hambone, our Lord and Savior. Hambone. You know where to find me. Cultofgeorge.com, GLKCreative.com. I'm looking for a few more weddings next year, and that's it. Just trying to retire in style. I am George. This is Hambone. Hambone.
Everybody remember, be nice. Aloha.
Перебитый поломанный крылья, серой болью всю душу свело.